Those are the people who have heard about me. Those are the people who might know a little bit about me. But what about you? Who do you say that I am? And that is where it really comes down to this morning. I believe we have to come to a place, transition from a place where our Christianity, where our picture that we have of God is not made up of what we hear people think about God, what Hollywood portrays God to be, what the newspapers portray for God to be, what our friends or maybe even religious family members portray God to be. We have to transition out and come to a place where we know who God is ourselves. Amen. God is calling us out from the crowd of people who know a little bit about Him. He's calling us out from the crowd who have heard about Him and say, what do you say that I am? What do you think who I am? What am I to you? And then, of course, we know that Peter answered a great thing. There was a revolutionary thought, but he said, you know what? Well done. It was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. But I believe God is calling us deeper into intimacy this morning. Amen? And that is something that is between you and God. I cannot and I don't even want to judge or try to attempt to judge the relationship that you have with God. Only because you come here on a Sunday morning, you lift your hands and you sing praises to God. I have no idea how the relationship, how the intimacy with you and God really looks like. And it's none of my business either. It's between you and God for you to come to a place, say, God, I want to experience you again. I want to have that close relationship with you again. So now the question is, what is intimacy? If you go into the dictionary, you find that a definition of intimacy is close familiarity or close friendship. Another definition says a cozy and private atmosphere. I like the one where it says a close friendship. A close friendship. So when we are talking about we want to have greater intimacy with God, we want God to be more and more to be part of our life. Not a God who is far away in heaven, but we want to have that close friendship with Him again. We want to be called friends of God. We want to have Him a say in our life. We want to involve Him in our everyday life. A close friendship with Him. Not a God that we worship from afar. Not a God that we worship once a week on Sunday morning when we come to church. We want to have that close friendship with God again. Now, here's a few things about intimacy. Number one, intimacy reveals and empowers. Intimacy reveals and empowers. What we just read, Matthew 16, verse 17. Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven." In intimacy, a close relationship, a close friendship with God will lead to revelation. We will get to know who God really is. Not only what Pastor David talks about God, not what other preachers talk about who God is. We get to know and experience God for ourselves. And that is good news, isn't it? That we have an open door and that God is calling us for that close friendship. That revelation that will flow out of the revelation, that will flow out of the intimacy that we have with God. We can experience the God of the Bible, where we see that Jesus performed miracles. We now can experience Him in our life personally, where we see Him drive out demons and devils and ugly spirits. We know that the same power of God can work in our life. Where we see Jesus healing the sick, we know that God can do the same thing in our life. Amen? Come on, that is good news, because it means that God is not sitting up far in heaven, not even caring about us, but He wants to be involved. And that intimacy, that close relationship with Him, will lead to revelation of who He really is, but it will also empower us. Because we will realize it's not so much my own power. It is not so much what I can produce, but it is what God can do through me. It is what God can do, because He is the foundation. Now, if you go into the original, where Jesus said, you know what, you are Peter. And I have a slide up there that explains it a little bit, where He says that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church. It doesn't talk about that now God or Jesus will build His church upon Peter the rock. When you go into the original, where He says, you are Peter, He said, you are Petros. Petros means a little stone, a little rock, a little stone that you can pick up and throw this way, or you can throw into another one. A little rock that you can kick and it goes from one side to the next. But He says, but on this rock, on this Petra, I will build my church. What is the Petra? Petra is the revelation that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of the living God. The rock is the revelation that Peter received from God. And that revelation shows that on this rock, which is Jesus, He will build His church. And everything that comes against the church will not prevail, because the foundation is not people, but the foundation is Jesus Christ. So Petra means cliff rock. So from a little stone, He says, no, no, no. If I would build my church on people like you, Peter, I would build my church on little rocks. But I will build it on a cliff rock. That is Jesus Christ. Something that can stand strong against the wind and the waves, against the storms of life. That no matter what comes against the church, the cliff rock will stand. So no matter what comes against our life, because I want you to know that your foundation for your life can be Jesus Christ as well. Come on. Not our emotions, not our hard work, not our wits and smarts, not even the good decisions that we make. Our life can be based and be founded on Jesus Christ, the cliff rock. So that when storms of life will hit us, when things unexpected will come against us, that we can stand strong, just like the church can stand strong, because Jesus is the foundation. So why can we be empowered? Because Jesus is our foundation. Intimacy, close relationship with God can make us stand strong on the cliff rock of Jesus Christ in our life. That even though our emotions might be all over the place, maybe we have fear in our life, maybe we are discouraged, maybe we are stressed out, maybe we are really anxious about what the future might hold, but because we are grounded on Jesus Christ, our cliff rock, we can stand strong. So intimacy with God can reveal who He really is, but it will empower each and every one of us. Amen? He can empower us so that we can stand strong upon Him. Amen. So that we are no longer dependent on our own strength, but that we can stand on the strength of Jesus Christ. Amen. Number two, intimacy exposes. Intimacy exposes. And to understand this a little bit, we can go into Genesis chapter 1, 2, 3. And basically is there, God just created the heavens and the earth. He created Adam and Eve. And now God said, everything is good, Adam and Eve. You can enjoy everything in the garden, but there's one tree that you're not supposed to partake of. Everything else is good to eat. Everything else you can enjoy. Just don't touch that one tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And then we don't know how long it happened. Very often the way that we read it is like as if the next day, right away, Eve goes and picks the fruit and eats the fruit and gives it to Adam. Now reality is we don't know how long from when God said it until they actually took off the fruit. Maybe it was days, maybe weeks, or maybe even months. I believe personally, now this is not in the Bible, you can take it with a pinch of salt. I believe it was probably months and months afterward, where God said, don't touch this one, everything else you can enjoy. But every day they would pass by the tree and they would see, oh, it looks good. It looks nice to eat. That's why I think Adam and Eve were Malaysian. Because there is a fruit that looks good to eat, why not eat? Why cannot eat? It looks nice. It looks delicious. Even durian, which smells terrible, even that one you try to eat. So how much more a fruit that looks good to eat and probably smells nice? So maybe by day after day passing by, they think, you know what? Maybe God didn't really mean it. Maybe God wasn't so strict after all. Maybe I can just take it. You know what? Maybe God was not that serious. And maybe they justified themselves of taking the fruit and eat it. I don't know. But the reality is, after some time, we don't know how long, they took off the fruit, rebelled against God and disobeyed God. And now God comes down like he did daily. It says God would come down in the cool of day and walk with Adam and Eve, spend time with them, a perfect relationship where God would come down and walk with Adam and Eve in the cool of the day. Now Genesis 3 verse 11 comes along. God comes down, but Adam and Eve are hiding. Then God says, Adam, Eve, where are you? Then Adam says, God, we are here behind the bushes. He said, Adam, why are you hiding behind the bush? Then Adam probably thought, because our naughty bits are showing. Then God says, Genesis 3:11, who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree that I commanded you not to eat from? And then they come forward, confess to God, and God forgives them. Now there was still the consequence of the sin. But the thing is, intimacy with God exposed their sin right away. Come on. Because God was walking with them daily in the cool of the day. So as soon as they made that mistake, God came down. And because there was that close relationship, because he walked with them daily, the sin that they committed was exposed right away. So if we have an intimate relationship with God, if we have a close relationship, a close friendship with God in our life, sin and things that we are doing wrong will be exposed right away. But here's the good news. The exposure of sin is not to whack us over the head and say, you have done bad. It's not for punishment. The purpose of exposing our wrongdoing is so that God can reconcile us back to him. Come on. It is not to punish us for what we did wrong, but so that he can take the necessary steps for us to be reconciled with God again. So when he exposes our shortcomings in life, it is for your own benefit. Now I know, we don't like to be confronted with our own shortcomings, right? We have no problems pointing them out from other people. Oh, you have this shortcoming, or this one you have to work on, or maybe this one is not quite right. But what about our own self? When God comes and he exposes our shortcomings, ouch. But you know what? It is so that we can bring it before God and say, God, forgive me, help me, and we totally turn a new direction. So that the things that once were driving us away from God is no longer an issue anymore. Come on. If we have that intimacy with God, don't be surprised when you will see things that need to be changed in your life. Because the closer you come to God, the more aware you become of the things that need to be changed. Come on. You know me from up here, maybe talking to you once or twice a week. So you know me a little bit, but you don't really know who I really am deep inside. Now, if you ask Joanna, my wife, she can tell you stories of who I really am, of that I am not very patient all the time, that I still have a lot of shortcomings and flaws and things that I need to let God work on. Why? Because she is so close to me. Because we have that relationship, she will see things that people on the outside will not see. So if we become closer and closer to God, if we now see who He really is, but even more so that He can reveal to us what needs to be changed, He will expose it in our life, but so that we can change. Reconciliation is always the aim of exposing what is in our life. Amen? And God will do that very graciously. Amen? So that we can be reconciled with Him again. Amen. 1 John 1 verse 9 says, if we confess our sin, He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sin and purifies us from all unrighteousness. I always thought it's so fascinating that it says that God is faithful and just to forgive our sin. See, because if we come before God and ask Him to forgive us, He is just to forgive us. So if you or I, if we go to Starbucks or wherever you want to go, we can go to a coffee shop, we order our drinks, and I pay for our drinks. It is paid for. Now when the lady will bring the coffee, it is the just thing, it's the right thing for you to be able to take your coffee. Now, you didn't pay anything for it. I did. But it's the just thing for you to get your coffee because the price for it has been paid. So when we come to God and ask God, forgive us, it is the right thing for God to forgive us. Why? Because Jesus has paid the price for it already. So when we come to God, it's not a question. It's like, oh, will God forgive me or not? Oh, can God really forgive me? Will He forgive me or not? No, He will. Because the price has already been paid. So He is faithful to forgive, but it is also the right thing for Him to forgive because Jesus has done everything and covered everything for you. So when God comes to expose things in our life, it is not to hurt us. It is not for us to feel ashamed. It's not for us to feel bad about it. It's so that we surrender it to God and say, God, make me the person that You want me to be. So that we can change and become the people who God really wants us to be. Amen. Point number three, intimacy brings stabilization, or intimacy stabilizes. Intimacy stabilizes. Acts chapter 1, 21, 22, and verse 26. There it says, therefore it is necessary to choose one of the men who have been with us the whole time the Lord Jesus was living among us, beginning from John's baptism to the time when Jesus was taken up from us. Verse 26. Then they cast lots, and it fell on Matthias, so he was added to the 11 apostles. Now, if you just read it like that, maybe we're not quite sure what it really means. Basically, Jesus came into Jerusalem the time of Easter, big celebration. But Jesus told His disciples, you know what? There is a time coming where I will have to go. I will die, and I will have to go from you. So Jesus is now betrayed by Judas, goes to the cross, dies, and is resurrected from the dead 3 days later, appears to the disciples for 40 more days, and then is taken up into heaven. Okay, very short summary of what happened just before what we read. So Jesus is already now gone to heaven, and he told his disciples in Acts chapter 1 verse 8, wait for the Holy Spirit. Wait in Jerusalem, because I will send a helper, a power from on high that will come on you so that you can fulfill everything that I have asked for you to fulfill. So he was promising the Holy Spirit. So wait in Jerusalem, pray and wait for him. And that is what the disciples did. And now they're in the upper room waiting for the promise that Jesus had given them. And then they come up with this and say, you know what? We lost Judas, one of the 12 original disciples. He betrayed Jesus with the money that he got because he betrayed Jesus. He bought a plot of land. He committed suicide. So he's no longer one of the apostles. So they said, but we have to replace him. Then they say, okay, what is the requirements for someone to replace an original disciple? And then the requirement that we just read is basically he had to be around from the entire ministry of Jesus Christ. From one he was baptized through the entire ministry to his crucifixion, through his resurrection, through him being taken up into heaven. And then the disciple says, well, there's at least two that we have right here in the upper room. It's Justus and Matthias. And then they cast lot, and it was chosen that Matthias would replace Judas. Long story. You're thinking, what is going on? Why are you saying all this? Long story short, they had to replace Judas. And the requirement was one who was with Jesus from the time that he started this ministry all the way through until he was taken up into heaven. And there were two people. Now, Matthias and Justus, you never read about them before this incident. You never hear about them. You never hear like it is written about John and Peter. And even later on, Paul, you have a lot. You have so many disciples that are mentioned in the Gospels. Of course, Paul came later on. But you have so many disciples mentioned, but Matthias and Justus you have never heard of. Yet, they were with Jesus all this time. I want to put it close to our heart that there is a lot of people who are behind the scenes, but they are stable and strong believers. That's why right here, when they said, what are the requirements? Oh, there's Matthias and there's Justus. Maybe there were even more. But those two stood out because they were always faithfully serving in the background. They were never in the spotlight. They were never highlighted in the Gospels, but yet they were always there doing what Jesus wanted and needed them to do. And I want to put it close to our heart that very often God uses those people to build the church, to make the church strong and stable. And I believe many of you guys who have been coming to the church over the years faithfully, maybe behind the scenes, working and serving and just becoming a pillar of the church, I want you to know that your intimacy with God might not be seen by everyone, but God knows. God sees the relationship and how faithful you are serving. God sees and knows how stable you really are, because intimacy, a close relationship, a close friendship with God will cause us to be stable. When the whole thing goes crazy about we have to close the church because of COVID, that you will still faithfully attend online services over the years. When we said we're going to open up the church after COVID, some people said, oh, are you crazy? You're opening up the church. You're opening up for COVID. You are faithfully coming back, being a pillar of the church. Amen. I believe we need you to be those strong pillars in the church. And I believe the key for stability is intimacy with God. Because after all, we said, if we are close to God, He can become our foundation. so that difficult times will not wash us away, will not cast us to one side or the other, but we can be strong in Him. And if our life is built on Jesus, our cliff rock, we can stand strong. And the church can stand, be strong, no matter what comes against us. Amen. So let me encourage you this morning to say, God, I want to have that close friendship with you again. God, let me have that close relationship with you again. Because I want you to know that God's arms are wide open. That God is waiting for you to come to Him so that He can show Himself to you this morning. Amen. Let's rise to our feet this morning.